And I'm just mad he didn't ask me to sing. But old Brother Billy Keller used to say at the camp meeting, he'd say, I had some requests, but bless God, I'm going to sing anyhow. Amen. And we just have a great time in the Lord. Good to see this good number tonight. It's good to have all these churches together. Amen. And a fight doesn't break out. Wow. Of course, tonight ain't over with yet. Can't never tell. But I am so glad to be here. And I appreciate the dear brother that labored before I got here. What a preacher. And I was in West Virginia. And man, I'm glad to get out of there. Boy, I'm glad to get back down here in God's country. Amen. And I had a good meeting there. And I flew back home this morning, got my vehicle, and came up the road, stopped in Greenville, and picked up my friend there, Brother Robbie Mullinax, missionary to China. And he talked to me to keep me awake the rest of the way. And I'm still a little bit groggy. I'm working on about 3.5 hours sleep. So I may do what that country preacher did the other day. He got ready to preach. He said, okay. He said, stand to your head and close your feet. I'm through preaching, praise God. But God is good. And I trust you'll come back tomorrow night and come back Friday night. And our nation, our communities need meetings like this. And we don't need less of them. We need more of them. And so much the more we're to exhort one another as you see the day approaching. Appreciate the choir coming tonight. I love that song, One Holy Lamb, Wash My Sins Away. And I'm glad tonight I know who that is. And Jesus is His name. If you're saved tonight, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you don't know your right from your left, just say, praise the Lord. There's Duke fans here. I just heard you, praise God. Lift them back up again tonight. You ready? Hold them up real big. Hold them up high. Now get your phone out and take somebody's picture so you can blog them on the internet. People seem to get a real joy out of that in these days. But I'm glad the Lord is good. Amen? And thank you. Thank you for allowing me to come. I am glad to be here. Of course, when you get past 50, you're glad to be anywhere. Say amen right there. All right, stand with me tonight. The book of Exodus, chapter number 1. Exodus, chapter number 1. And I'll begin reading in verse number 5. And bring a message tonight. The Lord has stirred in my heart in the last several months about. And I appreciate several of the prayer requests I've heard tonight. Pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. We need God. There is no substitute. And I appreciate our dear brother reminding us it's worth praying for. And I believe the God of yesterday is the God of today. And I believe He's still able. Praise God. I feel a shout coming on. I'm glad He's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exodus chapter number 1 tonight in verse number 5. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren. Say this little phrase out loud with me. And all that generation. You say, what generation was that? The generation that knew Joseph. The generation that knew Joseph by fame. The generation that knew Joseph by name. The generation that was very much aware of what God had done in the life of Joseph. And the Bible said, and that generation died. Look, if you will, down in verse number 8. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt. And say this out loud with me, which knew not Joseph. Say that with me again, which knew not Joseph. When that generation went off the scene that knew Joseph, there arose another generation that did not even know who Joseph was. And you may be seated tonight, and by the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a while tonight on the tragedy of not knowing Joseph. I believe you would agree with me that Joseph is one of the most amazing characters in all the Bible. Joseph, what a man. Joseph, what a life. Joseph, what a legacy. A man that went from misfortune to mighty fame because he lived on the perpetual presence of Almighty God. No matter where you would find Joseph, it would say, and the Lord was with Joseph. Whether he was in the pit, Potiphar's, the prison, or the palace, and the Lord was with Joseph. God used this man in an awesome and a mighty way. You know the story. God used this one man to save an entire nation from starvation. There's a nation in the Middle East tonight called Egypt that would not have existed were not for the blessing of God on this man by the name of Joseph. God not only used Joseph to spare the nation of Egypt, but God even used Joseph to preserve that physical seed one day that would bring the Messiah, the Christ child, into this world. I believe he was a man that was greatly honored and used of God. If there was a man on the scene today used of God like Joseph was in that day, we would say about that man, wow, he's a man. I mean, if there was a man on the scene today used of God like Joseph was in that day, his name would be on every lips. His name would be the most famous name in all the world. If a man was on the scene today used of God like Joseph was in that day, that'd be Joseph t-shirts. That would be Joseph bracelets. What would Joseph do? That would be Joseph bumper stickers on all of the chariots. I mean, if a man was used of God like Joseph was in that day, man, he'd be the man of the hour. I believe there'd be books about Joseph. There'd be songs about Joseph. I believe people would travel all over the world and give speeches on how wonderful Joseph is. But yet the Bible said in our text that the very nation that owed their existence to this man all of a sudden found itself one day ruled and legislated by people who did not even know who Joseph was. Now we know the Bible teaches us that Israel sojourned in Egypt for 350 years. We know that Joseph was 30 years old when he went to the throne and he lived to be 110. And you put all that together, this is what you got. From the time that Joseph died to this new king comes on the scene that does not even know who Joseph is, it is a period of 350 years. And so think about this tonight. In 350 years, a nation that owed their very existence to Joseph, in 350 years, they went from knowing all about Joseph to some about Joseph, to a little about Joseph, to nothing about Joseph. You say, well, what's the big deal about Joseph? Well, not to know who Joseph is, it's not to know one of the greatest lives that's ever been lived. Why not to know a man like Joseph is not to know one of the greatest stories that's ever been told. Why not to know who this man by the name of Joseph is? It's not to know one of the greatest legacies that has ever been left to humanity. And I want to say tonight what a tragedy it is for a nation that would not even exist were not for him. To go from knowing all about Joseph, to some about Joseph, to a little about Joseph, to nothing about Joseph. You say, well, Brother Joe, what has that got to do with us? Well, I'm afraid we're living in a society that's got to the place where they have got except they don't know who Jesus is. Brother, were not for Jesus, we would not exist. We wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for Jesus. We wouldn't have a life if it wasn't for Jesus. We owe the very breath we breathe to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tragedy it would be to live in a society that went from knowing all about Jesus to some about Jesus to a little about Jesus to nothing about Jesus. You say, well, Brother Joe, what does Joseph and Jesus have in common? Boy, I'm glad you brought that up. Why, think about this tonight. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was greatly loved of his father. Why, not to know this man by the name of Joseph is not to know one that his father exalted high above all of his other sons. Why, not to know this man by the name of Joseph is not to know the one that his father loved so much that he gave him a coat of many colors. Why, not to know this man by the name of Joseph is not to know the one that was always about his father's business. But oh, not to know Joseph. It's not to know the one that even though he was loved by his father, he was despised and rejected by his brethren. While not to know Joseph, it's not to know the one that was sold into the hand of the enemy for the price of silver. While not to know Joseph, it's not to know the one that was let down in a pit of suffering. Not to know Joseph is not to know one that suffered humiliation for the sins and the crimes and the faults of another. While not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was forsaken by all and left to suffer all alone. But oh, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that even though everybody forgot about him, God did not. For not to know Joseph is not to know the one that was lifted out of the pit of suffering. For not to know Joseph is not to know the one that went to the throne on the other side of the pit. For not to know Joseph is not to know the one that the very ones that despised him and rejected him had to bow down before him and confess with their mouth that Joseph is the Lord of the land. For not to know Joseph is not to know the one the Bible said, and he kept much people alive. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that all of his dreams came true. Why, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that all of his promises, prophecies, and predictions were fulfilled to the minute detail. But oh, not to know Joseph is not to know the one that had bread when nobody else had bread. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that if you got any bread, you had to bow down to him to get it because he's the only one that had it. And not to know this man by the name of Joseph is not to know the one that took a Gentile bride when he got to the throne. Well, let me say it like this. Not to know Joseph is not to know the one that brought a bunch of people into something they didn't have no business being brought into. And the only reason why they got brought into it, they knew who Joseph was. For not to know this man by the name of Joseph is not to know the one that built a place in the palace for him and his bride to live together in blessing and provision and happiness as long as Joseph lived. And not to know this man by the name of Joseph is not to know the one that sent a message to his other family members, come where I'm at, the mansion's built, the table is spread, the door is open, the throne is occupied, where I am, there you may be also. And not to know Joseph is not to know the one that built a place in the palace for all of the family to live together in as long as Joseph lived. And they were blessed in Egypt, and they were honored in Egypt, and they lived in Egypt, and they were safe in Egypt as long as Joseph lived. I believe if you'd ask somebody in that day, do you know Joseph? I believe they'd say, I'm glad I know who Joseph is. Well, I don't know about all that, but I do know this. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. You said, oh, Brother Joe, how in the world can you put Jesus and Joseph in the same setting? Brother, don't you know that the name Joseph has a twofold meaning? And that first meaning of the name Joseph means Jehovah has taken away my reproach. Yeah, boy, ever since I met Jesus, my heavenly Joseph, he has taken away my reproach. Don't you know that second meaning of the name Joseph means God shall bless or Jehovah shall add? Yeah, boy, ever since I met Jesus, my heavenly Joseph, he sure has blessed and honored and added unto me. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And I don't want to live in a society that goes from knowing all about Jesus, to some about Jesus, to a little about Jesus, to nothing about Jesus. You say, what's the big deal about not knowing Jesus? Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the greatest name that's ever been given. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the greatest story that's ever been told. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the greatest legacy that has ever been left to mankind. You say, well, what's the big deal about not knowing Jesus? Well, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was greatly loved of his heavenly Father. Why, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all three of the Trinity showed up at one time at his baptism. God the Son being baptized by the baptizer, God the Holy Ghost on the wings of a dove, and God the Father thundering from the glory world with a voice that shook the foundations of the earth, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that his Father exalted high above all of his other sons. For Adam was the son of God, and Abraham was the son of God, and I am a son of God. But he only had one only begotten son, and Jesus is his name. You say, did he love him so much he gave him a coat of many colors? Better than that, he loved him so much that Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Why, I'm not to know Jesus. It's not to know the one that I was always about his Father's business. Not to know Jesus. It's not to know the one that his heavenly Father said, I'm well pleased with my son. Oh, but not to know Jesus. It's not to know the one that even though he was loved by his Father, he was despised and rejected by his brethren. For not to know Jesus is not to know the subject of John 1:11, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was suffered and humiliated for the sins and the faults and the crimes of another. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was sold in the hands of the enemy for the price of silver. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces. Jesus sold for 30 pieces. A male slave in his prime in that day was worth 20. A female slave in her prime in that day was worth 30. Every one of you women right now ought to turn to your husband and say, hey, I'm worth more than you. You say, what does that mean? Joseph being a man, sold for 20, the price of a man. Jesus, a man, sold for 30, the price of a female. What you don't understand, when Jesus was being sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was buying himself a bride. Because when Jesus was on this earth, he borrowed a womb to be born from. He borrowed a bed to sleep in, a table to eat at, a boat to preach from, a donkey to ride on, a cross to die on, a tomb to lay in. He had no home. He had no place to lay his head. But the only thing Jesus bought and paid for was your soul and mine. When he bought us that bloody Calvary, he's the one that paid the price. Not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was forsaken by all and left to suffer all alone. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that cried in the apex of his suffering, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, but not to know Jesus is not to know the subject of Psalm 8, where God said he will not leave his soul in hell or suffer his Holy One to see corruption. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that was lifted out of the pit of suffering. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that went to the throne on the other side of the cross. Or not to know Jesus is not to know the one that the very ones that despised him and rejected him will have to bow down before him one day and lift their voice and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, but not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all of his dreams came true. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that all of his promises, prophecies, and predictions were fulfilled, are being fulfilled, and shall be fulfilled to the minute detail. And oh, by the way, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that took a Gentile bride when he got to the throne. Or let me say it like this, not to know Jesus is not to know the one that brought a bunch of people into something they didn't have no business being brought into. And the only reason why they got brought into it, they know who Jesus is. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that said this, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. For not to know Jesus is not to know the one that built a place in the palace for his bride to live together in forever and forever. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's about to send a message to the other family members. Come up hither where I am, there you may be also. The mansion's built, the table is spread, the door is open, the throne is occupied. And not to know Jesus is not to know the one that's built a place in the kingdom for all of the family to live together in forever and forever and forever. Someone said, how long are we saved? We're saved as long as Jesus lives. And the last time I read my Bible, that's a long time. I know they said it about Cinderella, and I know they said it about Beauty and the Beast, and I know they said it about Snow White, but nobody on this side of eternity lives happily ever after. But when you see Joe and Jesus strolling down a Hallelujah Main Street and our gospel chariot, purchased by the blood of Calvary, written on the side of the chariot says, Joe and Jesus, and they lived happily ever after. Lord have mercy. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. He's the one that saved our soul. He's the one that answered our prayer. He's the one that satisfies our life. He's the one that reached further down than we could reach up. He's the one that gave us our bread. He's the one that gave us salvation. I owe it all to Jesus. I owe it all to Jesus. I don't know what to the church. I don't know what to the preacher. I don't know it to the Pope. How it to Jesus. Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah for Jesus. Glory to God for Jesus. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And God forbid that we live in a society that goes from knowing all about Jesus to some about Jesus to a little about Jesus to nothing about Jesus. And I believe tonight we live in a society that's about to take that last step. A whole generation does not even know who Jesus is. One of our youth workers ran into me the other Sunday. His name's John. He's a great Christian. John's a chemistry teacher at one of our local high schools. And John's one of these guys. He's so educated, he's nerdy. And I'm trying to make an educated redneck out of him. And I love John. John's got a burden for souls. John came up to me and he was squalling. He said, Pastor, he said, last Wednesday night in one of our youth classes, said, the lesson that night was about Noah and the ark. And he said, Preacher Arthur, he said, a little girl in the fourth grade, now listen to this in the Bible Belt, a little girl in the fourth grade raised her hand, said, Mr. John, who is Noah and what is an ark? And as the tears ran down John's face, he said, Brother Joe, if she doesn't know who Noah is and what an ark is, she probably don't know who Jesus is and what a cross is. But aren't you glad tonight you know who Jesus is? I'm glad my daddy knew who Jesus is. I'm glad my little mother still knows who Jesus is. My daddy was an old dry Baptist. My mama was a confused Church of God. Daddy was saved but didn't know how to enjoy it. Mama was saved, didn't know for how long, but she enjoyed what she had. Well, mama and daddy got married. And my mama got to believing like my daddy, and my daddy got to acting like my mama. And then they had me, and I got the best of both worlds. Believe like a Baptist and enjoy it like a holy roller. Woo-hoo! I'm glad they knew who Jesus was. I'm glad that old time preacher man knew who Jesus was. I'm glad that Sunday school teacher knew who Jesus was. I'm glad that choir knew who Jesus was. I believe there's some folks in this room tonight. You know who Jesus is. You met him. He saved you. He changed you. He redeemed you. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Oh, but yet the Bible said an entire nation that owed their existence to Joseph went from knowing all to some to little to none. Let me say again, I'm hung up right here. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. God forbid that we live in a society that goes from knowing all about Jesus, the sum about Jesus, to a little about Jesus, to nothing about Jesus. I believe you agree with me tonight. Number one, in the text, they were ignorant to the story of Joseph. Brother, when you don't know Joseph, let me say you don't know nothing. And some people have a lot of learning today. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't know nothing. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man, picks him up out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels. God is, I think I broke something. Really real. You know nothing till you've known the love of God. They were ignorant to the story of Joseph. But notice tonight in verse 7 and again down in verse 9. Notice what happens when a society is ruled by people who don't know Joseph. Notice in verse 7 and verse 9. Notice what they do to Joseph's family. And let me just say this. Even though Joseph is off the scene, his young'uns is still here. But notice what they did to Israel. Notice what the Egyptians did to the Israelites. Notice what people do who do not know Joseph. Notice what they do to his family. They enslave them. They persecute them. They abuse them. And the reason why they don't know them, they don't know Joseph. And the reason why they don't love them, they don't love Joseph. And the reason why they don't recognize them, they don't recognize Joseph. And by the way, that's why the true church of Jesus Christ has always been despised and rejected and lampooned in this world, because when you don't love Jesus, you don't love his children, because you can't love Jesus and hate his children. Amen. They took their families. They took their home. They took their future. They put them in bondage and treated them like common dirt. for over 400 years because they didn't know Joseph. Let me tell you where the body of Christ is in our nation. We're on the threshold of losing every freedom that we hold dear and precious to our hearts tonight. Someone said, what's going on in our society? Why is this world going this way? Why do they legalize pot? Why do they legalize same-sex marriage? How do you get in more trouble shooting spotted owls and striped lizards than murdering unborn babies in the wombs of mothers? How does that happen, preacher? Because we live in a society that's ruled and legislated by men who do not know who Jesus is. For if they knew Jesus, they wouldn't be living that way. And it gets hard on Joseph's youngins when they live in a society ruled by men who don't know Joseph. And you hear me tonight, it's going to get tough, and it's going to get tougher on God's true believers in these dark days, living in a world ruled by men who do not know who Jesus is. Let me just say this tonight. Don't take it personal. It's not you they despise. It's not your family they despise. It's the name of Jesus they despise. And by the way, it's always been that way. The name of Jesus has always been a dividing name. They told those early apostles, you can preach, you can heal, you can deliver, but just don't do it. And they wouldn't even say it. They wouldn't even say it. They said, don't do it in that name. Don't do it in that name. Don't mention that name. And son Simon Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, said, bless God, read my lips. If I don't preach in that name, and if I don't sing in that name, and if I don't do my work for God in that name, I'm not going to do it at all. For there's nor the name under heaven given among men. Hallelujah. It's the name of Jesus. You say, Brother Joe, I'm in this room tonight, and that name Jesus makes me nervous. Wonderful. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It makes the devil nervous. Demons tremble in that name. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. They were ignorant to the story of Joseph, but they were insensitive to the family of Joseph. Everybody in America's got their right to speak, except the born-again, blood-washed child of God. They don't want to hear what you've got to say. They don't want to hear your testimony, because your testimony is this: I believe the Bible, and I love Jesus, and He saved my soul. You say you're politically incorrect. That's never been one of my strong points. Let's get that straight right here. I mean, I'll tell you, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be in hell. I'd be in hell with my back broke, lost without God. I don't know my allegiance to Muhammad or to Allah or Confucius. I owe my life to Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the King of every king, and the Lord of every Lord. I'm glad I know who Jesus He is. Woo! And I think I'll clear me off a spot and say, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I was depraved, cut off, lost without God, possessed no spark of goodness. But He came to where I was, and He saved my soul, and He changed my life. And I'm glad Jesus has. My God, I feel like preaching tonight. And Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. I'm about to go to hacking. Lord, have mercy. It feels good. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites not his frozen, but his chosen people. Come and dine, come and dine, come and dine. The world has always thought we were crazy. We might as well agree with them and shout it out for Jesus. I'm trying to be nice about it. Have you ever wondered why 55,000 people can stand to their feet and scream and holler and squall and yell and froth at the mouth, kiss and hug people they don't even know, slap people they don't even know, because some men and some leotards are kicking a pig's hide through these goalposts? And they're so much sissies they won't fight like a man. They got to put all that protection. Come on now. Have you ever wondered why 100,000 people have a hot dog in one hand and a rebel flag in another hand and say, pass him on lane two. Run over him, bless God. Wreck him in the name of Jesus. Wreck him if you have to kill him. You know I'm telling it right. My son, who now works for me, was a, bless his heart, he was dumber than a box of rocks. But he could play baseball. I'm proud of him. He turned down an opportunity to go to Bible college. I'm proud of him. And whole Bubba, he could catch real good. And he wasn't a power hitter, but he'd get on base. And I mean, he could really catch too. He could really play. Brother Scott back here and a few others know my wife. She's the very opposite of me, polar opposite. I mean, she always looks like every hair in place. No wrinkles. And I'm telling you, she, whoo, when she fixes up, whoo. One boy said to me, he said, my wife takes too much time getting ready. I said, some needed 5 more minutes. Can I get a witness right there? But my wife is the total opposite. Educated, refined, dignified, and quiet. Far as I know, she's cried in church a couple of times. Nodded a time or two, but if she ever shouts, the millennium has just started. I didn't even think she had any emotional system at all till Bubba, her darling son, played baseball. One day I was, run, run, son, run, yes, woo! I said, hey, you ain't never got that excited over my preaching. She said, you don't preach as good as he plays baseball. If you tell her I said any of this, I'll deny it. And you guys back there in that taping mechanism, I'll whoop you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But I've never understood how thousands of people can get excited at a ball game or a wrestling match. Hey, you watch wrestling. I guarantee you, you do. I guarantee you do. You look like somebody that watches wrestling. You probably got a tattoo right there. Say amen. And I mean, listen, we get about to wrestling and on the ball and all the sports event, and they yell and they scream and they slap people they don't know and kiss people they don't like. And we say, they're just fans. Somebody in this room tonight can get full of God's whoo! Hallelujah! Oh, what's wrong with them? I'm a fan. By the way, fan is short for fanatic. And a fanatic is like an addict. He done got hooked and he's got to have a fix. Lord, I done got hooked on Jesus. How about you? I'm a fan tonight. I praise him tonight. Because at Calvary, he hit a grand slam home run, kicked a field goal, got a goal in, and brought home the trophy. Excuse me. Woo! I want to tell you it's time that this world heard from the body of Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know why he said let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Because we're the only ones that's got anything worth saying. Hallelujah! I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Man, I got to hurry. They were ignorant to the story of Joseph. They were insensitive to the family of Joseph. But by the time you get to chapter 5 and verse number 2, it's gotten worse. Because by the time you get to chapter 5 and verse 2, they've ignored the God of Joseph. And by the time Moses goes before this Pharaoh, who don't know who Joseph is, Moses said, "Sir, I met God at the burning bush, and the Lord sent for me to tell you, let my people go." And by the time you get to this text, this man who rules this nation, it wouldn't even exist were not for Joseph, is so far removed from his own national history and heritage. He looks Moses in the eye and says, "Who's the Lord that I should obey his voice?" That sounds like some politician that got too big for his britches. Who's the Lord? You see, Brother Scott, when you don't know Joseph, you don't know Joseph's God. When you don't have Joseph, you don't have Joseph's God. And may I submit to you tonight, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. For the only way to know God, you got to know Jesus Christ. He is the way to God. And that's why by the time Moses came on the scene, Egypt is worshiping idols. Because when you don't know Joseph, you'll make a god out of most anything. Listen to this. By the time Moses comes on the scene, they are worshiping the creature and the creation and not the creator. For when you don't know God, you replace him with little fake, false gods. And the way you live, and the way you rule, and the way you judge, and the way you legislate reveals your ignorance that you don't know God. Let me say this tonight very tenderly. I don't hate animals. I love animals. I love dogs. I love cats. I love horses. I even love hamsters. Because they remind me of a bunch of mad Baptists. You know I'm down it, right? Excuse me, son. I didn't mean to. And I don't hate the environment. I believe we ought to be good stewards of what God's given us. Thank God for that golden sun and that silver moon. Thank God for the ocean. Thank God for the mountains. Thank God for the streams and the lakes and the rivers. But you hear me tonight? I don't worship that tree. I don't worship that dog. I don't worship that stream. I don't worship that mountain. I worship the sovereign, eternal, immaculate God that made the sun and made the river and made the mountain. But when you don't know God, you'll worship the creature and the creation and not God. And by the way, those plagues that God wrought in the land of Egypt were not just freaks of nature. They were a direct judgment on one of them false gods they worshiped. God said, "I'll tell you what, Egypt, you want to worship the streams? I'll turn it into blood. You want to worship that sun? I'll pull the curtain over it. You want to worship creepy crawly creatures? Help yourself. I'll give you a bed full of frogs and a head full of lice.
Amen.
God said, I'll get you so sick of it, you'll know that I'm God. I want to tell you what God did. He visited Egypt one night and he got their attention. And when God walked out of Egypt that night, they knew the sun wasn't God, the river wasn't God, the mountain wasn't God. God was God, and he always will be God. And God's about to shake America and get their attention. I'm still God. Remember what happened? God and Moses had an encounter to burning bush. Moses goes back down to Egypt. And God said, you go tell Pharaoh, I'm hot, I'm mad, I'm coming to town, and I'm going to overthrow this outfit, and they're going to know that I'm God. But in the same time, boy, tell them in wrath, I remember mercy. And tell them who don't want to be destroyed to go get them a lamb. And not just any kind of lamb. A special lamb, a selected lamb, a slain lamb, a sheltering lamb, a saving lamb, a supplying lamb, a sweet lamb, a satisfying lamb, a sacrificial lamb, a substitutional lamb, a sure enough lamb. Woo-hoo! Get you a lamb. Put its blood in a bowl. Put that hyssop brush down in that bowl. And son, you go out and paint the town red. You put that blood on the top and on the side. You'll get that in a minute. Put the blood on the top and on the side. And I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. But here's the deal. When I see the dead body of the lamb, when I see the lamb nailed to the side of the, when I see the lamb tied up in the back, he said, here's the deal. When I pass through the land of Egypt, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. Lord, I got to hurry. Boy, about that time, the clock struck midnight. And a darkness engulfed the land of Egypt so thick it could be felt. And here came the super destroyer. Here came the death angel. Here came sovereignty. Here came immaculate. Here came God. Here came holy, holy, holy. And he walked down the back alleys. And he walked down Main Street. And he went to Pharaoh's palace. And he went to the pauper's lean-to. And the scream and the smell and the stench of death was in the air, weeping and wailing all through the land of Egypt. And the cry of death. But over yonder on the backside was some little black huts. And that was this red substance shimmering in the night. And what a difference it made. For on the outside there was weeping and wailing. But on the inside there was singing and shouting. On the outside there was starvation. But on the inside that was a table spread. On the outside there was a darkness. But on the inside a light was shining. On the outside they had met their end. On the inside they're about to take a trip. And when the sun came up in the morning, all of them that were behind the blood were gone. Somebody said, Pharaoh, I tell you where they're at. They're up at that Red Sea. And they got the Red Sea in front. The Meridian Desert on one side. Mountains of Paran on the other side. And if you bring your army up in the rear, you can annihilate them. You got them, Pharaoh. They can't go that way. They can't go that way. They can't go that way. And they've already done been that way. I got news for Pharaoh. When you can't go that way, that way, that way, there's a God that way that comes this way. And through the power of the blood, you keep on going that way. And I'm going that way.
Amen.
God dispatched an angel. And he got between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And directed traffic. God leaned over heaven and said, and the waters, whoop! And they stayed till every last one of them. None left behind. Glory. Made it out. I see six fellers in the back. They got this box on their shoulder. And I say, what's that? And one of them said, it's Joseph's bones. God is so intent on sweeping the remembrance of his people out of this place. He's even bringing the dead people out.
Amen.
Woo! And when the last one stepped out on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance, Pharaoh said, well, if them Semites can do it, if them Jews can do it, if them old poor Israelites can do it, we can too. And the angel says, come on in. The water's fine. And God waited till they got in the middle and pulled the plug. And God's people stand on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance and watch God bury, annihilate, glory to God, their past. Amen. Lord, I gotta quit. I see a young man in the back and I say, hey, who is that? Who is that fine looking young man on that beautiful horse, got that elaborate chariot, got that highly decorated uniform on? Who is that? Oh, Brother Joe, that's Pharaoh. And I want to say, hey, Pharaoh, how does a man of your money, how does a man of your stamina, how does a man of your statue, how does a man who's the kingdom, how does a man that big die such a shameful death like this? And as that last crushing wave snuffs out his life, his last gurgling words will be, I don't know Joseph. I don't know Joseph. I don't know Joseph. And while those who didn't know Joseph were going to a watery grave, on the other side, those who knew Joseph, it's hard on Baptists, but got out their tambourine and done a Holy Ghost fit on the other side of the sunny banks of sweet deliverance because they were saved and delivered. I can see somebody on the other side going, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I want to say, how'd you make it out? How'd you make it out? How come that's you not down there drowning in that Red Sea? They'd say, I'm glad I know who Joseph is. I'm glad I know who Joseph is. What's that got to do with us? One day, the saints of God will be in heaven, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, saved forever. And you know what we'll say? I'm glad I know who Jesus is. We're there because of Jesus. Here's my message and I'm done. If there's a generation that knows all, and if there's a generation that knows none, then somebody between the two generations didn't do their job. Sister, I watched you tonight enjoy church. I enjoy church watching you enjoy church. I'm going to adopt you as my mama this week while I'm here. But if your generation knew all about him, and man, that little baby right there in your arms, that generation knows nothing. Somebody in between didn't do the job. And with all these churches here tonight, this is my message to you. Every one of us ought to do, say, pray, give, stand, sacrifice, serve, do whatever we gotta do.
Amen.
To make sure there's never a generation in old Burke County, North Carolina, where it can be said, and they don't know who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Who is he? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. I believe you agree with me on this. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. Who is he? He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Are you willing tonight to do whatever it takes to make sure your children and your children's children know who Jesus is? Let's stand together. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the liberty to preach the Word of God. Lord, this has been a pleasant congregation to preach to. And Father, with all of the churches here tonight, our cause has never been greater. Dear God, this country has never needed church like they need it tonight. God, there's almost a generation in the Bible Belt that don't even know who you are. And Lord, you've laid it on us to perpetuate your name to the next generation. God, there's mamas and daddies and grandmothers and grandfathers here tonight. God, we need to lay before you and say, Lord, help me to get it out so another generation can know. There are some young people in this room tonight, Lord, that needs to step up to the plate and be a champion for Christ in these dark days so another generation may know who Jesus is. Sanctify the Word of God in our heart and we'll love you tonight in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed all over the building. Our brother's going to get us a song. But I wonder tonight, and we'll make room, but I wonder tonight how many would just join us at this altar and say, God, please help me to live and serve in such a way that there'll never be a generation in our county that does not know who Jesus is. I want my children to know. I want my grandchildren to know. I want my neighbors to know. While he sings for us tonight, people are coming all over the building. Let God stir your heart. Sing for us, my brother.